Every week in Studio 360, we explore one big idea in depth. Today, we look at the intersections of art and medicine. But we also take a look at current ideas and events in art and music and the culture at large. So, it's my job to try to experience art with a capital A. Art that thinks it's art. Not-for-profit art. Art that doesn't necessarily get published in hardcover or originate in Hollywood. I mean, I live in New York City. I write journalism about culture. I'm a novelist. I've been a critic. In other words, if I don't occasionally go to watch live human beings performing in small, drafty theaters subsidized by foundations, then I'm failing to live up to my own standards as a citizen of this civilization. I don't want to be on the side of the Philistines by default. Serious culture requires serious consumers. So a couple of weeks ago, I decided I needed to get out and renew my bona fides. First, music. Let me make clear up front that my tastes in classical music are not limited to Mozart and Aaron Copland. I like a lot of the contemporary music that classical stations play, usually very late at night. In fact, my first date with my wife 23 years ago was spent at a Carnegie Hall concert of Michael Tippett's Symphony No. 3. I liked Philip Glass before he was popular. Okay, semi-popular. I have happily paid to hear the music of Steve Reich and John Adams and John Cage, but never Karl Heinz Stockhausen. I knew he was a kind of god to electronic music people, had heard of him, but had never, until 2 weeks ago, heard his music performed. Right around Thanksgiving, I went to a concert of Stockhausen's Mantra. It sounded like this. As I left the theater, a question formed. Why does so much new music sound like the score for Psycho 3 or Alien 5? Why does a mood of anxiety and spookiness, and only anxiety and spookiness, equal high musical seriousness? All right, I decided I'd try comedy. Important comedy, comedy that people like me are supposed to revere. I had never seen a Joe Orton play performed, so I went to a new production of What the Butler Saw, his last play, written just before he died. Its director is young and hot and talented. Its star, Chloe Sevigny, is young and hot and talented as well. But the play, it turned out, is dumb and smug and tedious, a sloppy sophomoric farce whose swinging 60s outrageousness just no longer is. Another theater exit, another question. Is it his murder as a young man, his flamboyant homosexuality, or something else that accounts for Joe Orton's exalted reputation as a playwright today? The Stockhausen and the Orton were decades old. What about new work? So I went to a play called Orpheus and Eurydice. The premise, a comic retelling of Greek mythology with Orpheus as a rock star, sounded interesting. A Pulitzer Prize-winning critic had recommended it highly in the New York Times. I try to stay curious. I want to be open. I expected to be challenged, provoked, possibly even shocked in the way the new art is supposed to do. I was shocked by the fact that a well-reviewed new play that's supposed to be smart and funny and edgy isn't nearly as smart or funny or edgy as any random episode of The Simpsons or West Wing. So a brief run of bad luck, a few wasted nights in Bohemian Manhattan, and I'm not about to abandon serious culture in favor of a 100% pop diet. Most commercial art and entertainment is dreck, but it does depress me a little, particularly in this over-commercial age when we need serious art more than ever. How often not-for-profit seems to mean not really very good. I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360.